I'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you for the privilege of getting to know some of you. Some of you I've just seen here each night and we haven't talked, but thank you for coming and sitting under the sound of the ministry of God's Word. It is my prayer and heart's desire that some way, somehow, God has used it to encourage you and to challenge you to go on and serve Him. It's been my privilege, my wife's privilege, to have a meal or two, or three, or four, or five, since we've been here. And we have truly appreciated your southern hospitality. It's been very nice. This evening, I would like to address what I believe is probably the key to effective evangelism. This is going to make the difference for you from being a shy, timid servant to being a bold witness and effective for the Lord. This is going to deliver you from the haunts and fears of the I've got to syndrome. I had an opportunity to be instructed by a parachurch organization for 7 months when I was a new Christian. They taught us to write out and memorize a 3-minute testimony. And we were instructed that if we were with a person for any reasonable length of time, that we were to fire out that 3-minute testimony to that person. And if we didn't do that, then we were not fulfilling the Great Commission. And as a new Christian, I believed that. And I practiced that. And I lived in a constant state of fear for thinking that I might have missed someone that I should have shared Christ with. Consequently, much of my early evangelism was done in the efforts of the flesh and not by the leading of the Spirit of God. I later began to read my Bible and found out the Lord Jesus walked by many that He did not heal or that He did not speak to. Did that make him a failure? Of course not. He had committed himself to God. And so, later to try to balance this whole ministry of evangelism and the commission that we've been given and our responsibilities as Christians, I soon found out that it had to be stirring hearts by the Spirit of God. It had to be a moving of God in your heart, and you're responding to that. Now, you must be sensitive. This is not a cop-out. This is not a situation where I just sit back and say, if you want me to witness, get somebody to knock on my door. It may be the person standing behind you in the grocery line. It may be the person that you talk to over the hedge of the fence in the backyard. It may be the person that you drive to work with or go to school with. It may be a total stranger or your spouse, your loved one, your relative. But nevertheless, it must be a moving of the Spirit of God in your heart, encouraging you, and you must be sensitive to that. The problem is, most of us are not sensitive. We either run out and do it because we know we got to do it as Christians, or we sit at home and say, well, I should have done that, but I didn't. And we're not moving, perhaps in the realms of the leading of the Spirit of God as we ought to. Now, I believe the Scriptures are very clear as to what our responsibilities are. And this evening, I would like to address that if I could. First of all, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. We reminded ourselves this week that the Lord is coming and so is judgment. Therefore, we ought to be busy about witnessing. We've reminded ourselves that we ought to start at home and then branch out. I understand we have some missionaries here from, is it Zambia? Well, if they couldn't be missionaries at home, they wouldn't be missionaries in Zambia. That's what the Scriptures say. And so, you know that they have made those necessary steps to learn to serve the Lord where they are, and He's led them somewhere else. And then we talked about and learned about Paul saying that we needed to be debtors ready to pay our debt. that we need to be ready, that is, willing and eager to do the job that God has called us to do. And then last evening, we found out that we have one of the greatest opportunities and one of the most effective ways to share Christ when we're in the midst of suffering. It just surfaces. I mean, it just sticks out like a sore thumb, the faithful Christian through suffering, and we're ready to give an answer in the suffering of everyone that asks of the hope that's in us. Now, trying to put all those into a neat package and then put them under the shadow of this principle this evening, I believe will give us the key of how all of that happens. I'm going to read some consecutive verses for you in three different Gospels, and then we will make comment. First of all, it's in Matthew chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse 18. Watch for key words, key thoughts about evangelism. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and left and their father and followed him. Now we'll go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. One other reading, Luke chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Let me begin reading in verse, well, this is a tough one. Verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets, plural, for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, singular. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The Lord bless then the reading of these three passages. When it comes to a victorious life in Christ, there is No substitute for obedience. You ever sing that song, Trust and Obey? There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Sometimes we sing it like that, don't we? All five verses. Well, listen, if it were any other way to be happy in Jesus, the Scriptures would tell us. But happiness and joy comes in obedience, in serving the Lord. Now, in the three texts that we have read for you this evening, there are possibly, at least in the last one and the first two that we read, two different accounts. Maybe the first call, some think, of the Lord Jesus to the disciples was in John chapter 1. We did not read, for there we do not read about the nets or the boats or the fishes. The second call, perhaps in Matthew and in Mark, and the third time here, as he asked them to launch out into the deep, and then he told them that they would be catching men from henceforth. The point that we want to make is this, and I believe and I hope will be the key that will really unlock the door to a successful life of evangelism or witnessing for you. And that is this. Most of my Christian life, I have been taught that it was my responsibility to witness for the Lord Jesus. My responsibility to share Christ with others. My responsibility to try to win men and women and boys and girls for the Savior. Did you ever think of what we read this evening? The Lord Jesus Christ said this, "Your responsibility is to follow me. My responsibility is to make you a fisher of men." You say, "Well, that's too easy. That's too simple." No, it's not that simple and it's not that easy. It sounds like it. Well, let me ask you, are you following the Lord this evening? You say, "Well, yes, sure. I mean, I'm here. I'm a Christian. I read my Bible today. Let's just notice what happened as the disciples responded to the declaration and to the challenge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew's account, this is what he said, "You follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Now, immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Then he went down the coast just a little ways, and he found other of those disciples, and it says, and immediately they left their ship and they left their father. Just mark that. We will expand on it in a moment. In Mark's account, we find this. He said, "Come after me, and I will make you to become something that they never were before. Fishers of men." There we read, immediately, the wording is changed. They forsook their nets and followed him, and then the same thing happened with the others. They left their ship and they left their father in the ship.